Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And I don't know, it's been almost a month now since we did this episode. So,
oh, wow.
You'd think we have more to talk about, but sadly, you know, just living life.
Sad.
But we are kicking things off, drinking here a Mexican-style lager from Goldfinger.
Drink more lager, 4.6%. Goldfinger's out in Downers Grove, man.
Mm-hmm. This beer is good, but also I want it to be better, and it's so forgettable that, like...
Approachable floral corn tortilla is what the can says. I don't know what that means.
It doesn't taste like a corn tortilla.
And that was always Fry Rabbit's thing, like Mexican lagers. There's nothing necessarily Mexican about Mexican lagers.
Right.
They're European lagers that... Europeans that went to Mexico started making while they were there.
Yeah, sometimes that lawnmower beer and Mexican lager are basically the same thing, mm-hmm. right? Like they're just hot day lagers, right? Or like, I guess all lagers are hot day lagers, but they're just almost like just a lighter lager than, I don't know what makes it the Mexican lager or the lawnmower lager.
Yeah, yeah, we should look this up because now I'm kind of curious too. Like, what's the difference between just like a bright lager?
Maybe some corn.
Huh. What's the difference between like a, you know, like Heineken's a lager?
Right.
Like a pale lager. And this is a Mexican lager. But like, what is the difference?
Right. It's super crushable and easy to drink and definitely a beer you want to have on a hot day. For some reason today, it dipped down in the 60s. So it is not crushable Mexican style lager. Beer weather.
I hope my petunias don't freeze, man. They've been doing good, man.
Is that, you're referring to a body part or like your actual plant?
No, actual deck plants.
Okay. But yeah, so.
Mexican lager. I'm looking this up.
This is my first time having Goldfinger, I think, in the can. No, this is the first time I purchased it, but I've had it in the can before. I've usually had it on tap there. You know, it's a great place to grab a beer, and I didn't even know they did a Mexican lager, so it's nice to see. They don't just have like the five standards like Metropolitan did.
Yeah, Mexican lager is not a. It's not. It's an international pale lager. I'd go by the
BJCP.
Yes, the styles, but I don't see Mexican lager.
Right. So I think it's just a.
Like a marketing term.
It's a marketing term. That's why I'm like, it's like a lawnmower beer. Like, there's not a lawnmower beer style.
Mild sweetness, subtle hop bitterness, high drinkability.
Yeah, that's called beer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Am I missing something here? It's just a marketing tone.
Light body, pale color, crisp finish. No. Sometimes made with corn.
Okay, but Bud Light's made with corn.
Yeah, Mexican lager.
So Bud Light's not a Mexican lager, right?
Yeah.
Or is it?
And then all these styles.
Or is it made with rice?
Corona, Modelo, Pacifico, Victoria. These are all just types of German lagers.
Okay.
So, there you go.
It's good. I wish it was better. I think if you're sitting at the beach in 100-degree weather, this beer is great.
They say it is, by definition, they have corn in the 60%, between 10 and 60% of them. Malt bill is corn.
Okay.
So, there you go.
All right. But that's my take on this. Anything else about Goldfinger or this beer?
I like Goldfinger a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good reason to get out of the city. And we talked about the other stuff around it.
Yeah.
There's other breweries around that you can hit.
But, cool. So this past, like, what month, we both went to Suncatcher. Different times. Not together. Different times. This patio might be one of the best.
Some of the seats are in the sun. Some of the seats are not.
There's a tent.
You know?
There's bags.
Taco joint next door.
Uh-huh.
Pretty chill time at the old Suncatcher, man.
Easy parking.
I think there was a San Diego Pale Ale when I went there, and a summer beer.
Okay, I had the summer beer. San Diego Pale Ale was out, and then they were out of, like, by when I went for a second summer beer, that was gone.
Mm.
So they're like running out of beer left and right. Matt Gabriel was brewing at the time when I was there.
Yeah. This is Half Acre's, I guess, sister project, because Matt Gallagher, he's the brewmaster of both.
Right.
So, just Half Acre Jace.
Yeah. But I thought Raj was more of a role here, and for the amount that I used to see him at Half Acre, I have never seen him at Suncatcher.
Yeah, I think this is their venture. I think he's like their co-owners.
Okay.
Of the Suncatcher.
Then where is he?
Oh, no, that's a different question. Where are you, Mr. Owner? I don't know. The one time I went in the winter, I saw him. He was behind the bar. But when I went back, I didn't see anybody there.
Nice. But yeah, this patio is great. It's not far from Feed, which I think is being sold. It's a great chicken spot.
Pretty solid for the breakfast, too, if you're up all night.
Yeah.
If you get your feed at 6 a.m.
It's not too bad to get to. It feels far. But kind of once you're there.
I think that's East Humboldt Park, they say. Okay. So really between Humboldt Park and Western, off Chicago Ave. Yeah. I like that place. It's part of the Chrissy Weber, that plant store.
Yeah.
They rent from Chrissy Weber. So this is one of the, I think it was like a Chrissy Weber garage.
Oh,
so you can just walk right through the Chrissy Weber patio and go look at plants afterwards, which is kind of fun. Yeah.
Drunk people buying plants. That's a great way to sell more plants.
I mean, you know, they got a lot of plants. It's one of those places, though, that don't have prices on the plants. So,
oh, yeah. That's dangerous.
They're coming for you. They're coming for your wallet
and
your butthole.
Pots and plants. They shouldn't be that expensive.
No. But I'm glad that Suncatcher's finally, like, hitting their stride. Like, this is their season, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, outdoor day drinking on the patio in Humboldt Park.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for a brewery to bike to this summer, that's the brewery to go to, because you could just roll up with your bike. I did find it weird they did have someone, like, checking IDs as you, like, went through the gate there, which I feel like I haven't seen in a long time. Not that people aren't checking IDs, or I'm definitely not often asked anymore, but I don't really see someone sitting outside, and, hey, you can't come in here kind of thing unless you got the ID.
Unless it was like super busy or something.
Right. This was like a Wednesday night, so strange. That was my only spot I went to. What about you? Make anywhere else?
Yeah, I went to Whiskey Hill.
Okay.
Whiskey Hill's in Mount Prospect. Well, Whiskey Hill's all over the place now.
I think we have now been to Whiskey Hills this year more than any of the, like, 50 years we've been doing the podcast.
I went to the really shitty one that's on top of an ice rink that is so unpopular that all they sold was macro beers. I went to the original one in Westmont. You've been to the new kitchen in Westmont.
Yeah, a couple times, like twice now.
That's funny. And then I've been the Mount Prospect one, which is Northwest Burbs.
Okay.
They're both, mine was right next to a Salerno's. So Salerno's is part owners of Whiskey Hill. And then they have a ton of Salerno pizzas that you can get on. This menu is huge.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a good hang. It happened to be, trivia night. But then I was just really impressed by a bunch of $10 cocktails, the barrel-aged beers, the hoppy beers, and then, like, a lot of food.
Okay.
It was actually, like, a really nice setup. I'm like, it felt like something that was run by, like, a restaurant group. It was really cool.
Yeah, it does feel like that. It feels like with the amount of locations they have, it's falling in that, like, Alter and Pollyanna kind of thing, where it's like, I don't mind that there's all these places, but they're also, they're not bad, but also like, where are you getting your money from kind of thing?
I want to know more. Yeah. About this. It's interesting, man. Like, and then they're choosing to franchise it with that name, all over the place. And, but that there's one approach because they have brand recognition. Another approach could be just different, open up different breweries.
Yeah.
Well, that was the, that was a dry hop approach, but then you don't really hear about them too much because all those concepts were completely different. They all had different names.
Yeah, that feels like the dry hop, the corridor, the
Crushed by Giants,
and then the
pizza joint, Roebuck.
Roebuck.
Which
that all just seems like no one gives a shit about any of those anymore. Like Crushed by Giants, I've been to once, but that's a giant mess because you're downtown, you're at this theater.
It's an upstairs. It's like a second floor bar.
Why am I here? Yeah. I'm not going. You're only getting out of town people. Corridor.
Or people who work downtown. Yeah.
Corridor feels like a neighborhood restaurant.
Yeah.
Dry Hop also.
Yeah.
And then Roebuck. I don't even think Roebuck.
I think they just expanded Dry Hop.
Yeah.
They rebranded it as. They expanded it and just made it.
But then none of their beers after. That juice box series or sound juice.
For some reason, Dry Hop had, not Dry Hop, but Corridor had the best beers out of the trio. Yeah,
but they like peaked at like hazy height and then just never like broke back out into the noise, it feels like.
Yeah. So with the good folks over at Whiskey Hill, I think I had two barrel-aged stouts. One was Seismic Overlay. And the other one was like a Blanton's and Barton's, very barrel forward barrel aged beer.
Okay.
Like 15 months in a barrel, like very oak forward. So, nice range of styles over there. Mm. Not mad at that place. Ended up getting the $10 margarita.
Wow. Okay.
You know, play a little trivia, stay a little longer than I thought. You know, it was a good time.
$10 margarita is like, just, you know, a buck more than a beer.
That's what I'm saying. And then also, like, you know, depending on who you're hanging out with, man, a lot of people like cocktails. I've been in cocktail scenarios a lot lately.
Okay.
And these cocktails be like 17, 20 bucks a pop.
Yeah.
And this is a sugary-ass fucking cocktail. And I'm like, man, fuck these cocktails. But then I get the $10 cocktail at the old Whiskey Hill. And then I'm like, I don't know if it's $10 cocktail. I might be back in on these cocktails.
Yeah. Give me the mix with the shot. I don't need your, like.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way to go is do the beer, do the shot. I'm so out on no one's making a balanced cocktail. Okay. Everyone's making these sugary bullshit $20 cocktails. Yeah. So shot, and I think a shot and a beer is probably where the sweet spot.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of that, there's a bar in Avondale, Teddy Bear Lounge. They're doing an $8 special. Three Floyds is trying to compete with basically like Miller High Life with this lager they've got. It's like a Floyd's Deluxe Lager.
Okay.
So you can get the Floyd's Lager and the Floyd's Whiskey for $8. You get the beer in a shot for $8.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
I do feel like this, you know, we're sitting here drinking this Mexican lager. This beer-flavored beer thing and everyone competing on this, like, premium lager thing is just going to blow up in everyone's face. Like, it could turn so fast that everyone's like, nah, I don't want that anymore.
Well,
why am I spending that when I could drink Heineken or Corona or Modelo for half the price?
I agree with that part. Yeah, the price point is going to piss people off. Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's a lager.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's a very good lager. But
at least something like Green Torch is... They got the lime in it. I don't have to buy the lime. So yeah.
That's a good one. They got the Summer Reef as well, and the Half Acre guys. I tried that.
So I feel like the competing against the macro low-end beer, you're just trying to convince craft beer people to pay more for the exact same product.
Well, it's going to taste a little better. But if the price is similar now, so
a little better.
If the High Life is $5,
yeah,
High Life's really good. By the way, it's not like these beers are better than
High Life. Three Floyds is $6 to $7.
Yeah, so if the price is similar, and you throw in a shot in, and then you're not selling the High Life, now you're talking. Now that might work.
But if the High Life's $3,
if the High Life's $3 and the Floyd's beer is $6, you might as well get the High Life in the shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. High Life's a good beer.
I was at Bangers and Lace a while ago, and they had, I want to say it was $4 High Lifes, and then basically all 12-ounce pours are, I want to say, like $7. 16-ounce pours are like $9. And I was like, oh, give me a High Life. I'm like,
it's the champagne of beers, Brad. It says it right on the bottle.
But interesting. Okay. It's Whiskey Hill.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
Okay.
I'm a fan of Whiskey Hill. Cool. So good for them.
Any other spots? I don't know what I was doing. I didn't make it to those. Made it out to other places, but not breweries.
Yeah. I think Whiskey Hill was the only place I went this week.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's stuff coming up.
Yeah, this weekend, if this episode goes out in time, is Ravenswood on tap or
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's it's a block party.
Yeah, this is a it's a block party art walk kind of thing.
Almost like Street Fest.
Yeah,
there's vendors, there's booze, there's beer, there's music.
Yeah, I think I went to this last year and may have talked about it that. After, because last weekend was Square Roots.
Yeah.
And they are no cash. And then Ravenswood Art was only cash.
Really?
This was last year.
Okay. So
it made it very hard for, like, I guess, I think I went to Bagayo because I was like, what am I going to do? I can't. I'm going to use your shitty ATMs you put out here to charge extra fees.
Yeah.
And I'll leave.
The straight cash thing is kind of odd.
Yeah.
But this year, I guess everybody will be from there from Malt Row, including the new guys over in Malt Row. Demo Brewing?
Okay, yeah, right.
So they'll be there.
Nice.
Well, I think they do a good job of partying over there. Well, I know the Beguile Dovetail Party is usually pretty good.
Yeah.
And this is on the other side of the train tracks from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you like drinking in the street, and who doesn't?
Yeah, and know. There's bands.
Yeah. So that might be a good hang. I think I went to that a little bit last year.
Okay.
And I got a fancy bag. I had a good time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Square Roots looked pretty good. I just didn't make it over there.
I haven't been at that one in years, maybe like 10 years. Oh. That's like, it's very similar concept-wise, but a lot more restaurant focus and just a giant festival, like a much larger space.
It's almost like a, I don't want to say Taste of Chicago.
It's like it's the Taste of Lincoln Square.
Yeah.
For sure.
Because there's different, there's stages for the bands.
Yeah.
Lincoln
Square kind of feels like its own, it's a proper neighborhood with regards to retail.
Yeah.
You know, there's a ton of restaurants in Lincoln Square. So it's good. It's a good chance to just try everything over there.
Nice. And I also saw, I think we've already talked about this, the Pilot Project is open and going in Wrigleyville.
Yeah, Wrigleyville. Pilot Project number 2. Pilot Project
3. Pilot Project number 3.
That's right, because there's one in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
No.
And you know, we were talking about the Whiskey Hills, the Pollyannas, and the
Altars.
And now there's all these, there's 3 pilot projects. I think you said why.
Yeah, I'm wondering who this is for.
What?
Yeah. Now, people in Wrigley love to drink. This makes sense. A lot of out-of-towners go to Cubs games, maybe like half the crowd is probably from out of town, a lot of cases.
You go up anything there. Goose should have just reopened a pub there.
This is filling that gap, right?
Yeah.
Because if Goose Wrigley was open, Goose Wrigley would kill it over there.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Oh, there's probably, it was, no, the Cubs wanted that space back. So they were renting a space that was owned by the Cubs.
But why didn't they just go into some other space over there?
Oh.
I guess at that point, AB didn't own the brew pubs. Right.
And maybe the halls when they cashed out just didn't want to deal with the hassle of moving stuff and building a new space out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hassle. So.
But now there's this pilot project that.
Yeah.
I like project when I go there.
Yeah. You're talking Donna's Pickle Beer, Funky Town, and then Brewer's Kitchen, which is a house brand. And then they have another house brand that's like lager focused too.
But it's not a brewery that I'm like, I want to go to. It's a brewery that I'm like, I go to, I'm like, these are good.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I am not deciding to go to Pilot Project.
No, Pilot Project's a tough sell because none of the beers are actually named Pilot Project. Pilot Project is the name of the company.
Yeah.
And all the beers all have different brand names. So it's kind of an unusual thing to like connect with. And then it's also an incubator. So these, with the exception of Funky Town, a lot of these brands are just kind of rotating in and out.
Sure.
You know, yeah. A few years in, and then they go do their own thing.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, Dunier was there at one point. Yeah. So it's interesting. It's an interesting concept. And, you know, the spaces are really nice. Like, I've been to Milwaukee, and we've obviously been to the Logan one. I love their spaces. The way they take time to kind of curate these spaces is fun. So I'm curious to see what the space looks like. But other than that, I mean, we are excited about it, maybe checking it out, because it's kind of a nerdy thing to do.
Sure.
But, like, at the casual beer drinker, are they going to connect with Pilot Project in Wrigleyville?
I don't think so.
Because, I mean, you know, Budweiser's paying big money to have a presence at Wrigley. Coors, there's a giant Coors billboard right there across the street. Mm-hmm. The big brands are playing over there. So, what are you looking? What's your advantage here? Because all those bars are selling big brands. All those bars, nonstop bars up and down Clark, they're selling big beer.
Right, and why am I not going to, when I'm over there, go to Big Star, or I go to the Small Cheval?
The greatest Small Cheval that exists of all time.
So you have those two better Chicago spots than the Pilot Project?
And then, you know, I do want to take it for a spin, but yeah, on paper, how does this work?
Mm-hmm.
I think what made the Small Cheval spot so great was that they combined all their concepts. So you can get the brisket from Green City Smoked Meats, and you can put that on the burger. You can get fucking pictures of Old Fashions.
Okay.
They got a rooftop. Like, it is a mess over there. It's really good.
Yeah.
But that's a draw, right?
Sure.
So how does, in comparison, what is Pilot Project doing? Even the Big Star, like, that Big Star is way bigger than the Big Star in Wicker Park.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see what are they doing to make it, make the juice worth the squeeze.
Right.
If you go over there.
Like, even District Brew Yards, I rate a little higher than wanting to go to over Pilot Project, but still, even with District Brew Yards, once I'm there, I'm sort of like, oh, I'm not like disappointed, but I'm like, oh, this is, I was expecting more again. Like, there's something missing with, like, these incubator kind of things, right?
I passed DYB on the way to
Whiskey Hill. I was wondering why you didn't go.
Yeah, I took the streets down from Lake Forest, and you passed through Wheeling.
Have you gone to that one since we were up there and we did the interview?
No, and to your point, I was more interested in going to Whiskey Hill because it was new, and I know they could kill it with barrel-aged stuff. And I know they can work their way around at IPA. And I'm looking at the cocktail list. I'm like, hey, let's get it on. You know, that was the sell for me. I'm like, I'm in.
Okay. You got four breweries at the district.
This is fair. Yeah, that's fair. You got
Twisted Hippo, which I don't know if they ever are going to open up a new spot.
They're probably very comfortable in the two DYB locations. And then you have
Around the Bend that I think missed their opportunity. Like, Dan is great, but I think he missed the opportunity to open up his own space.
Burnt City,
which is District Brew Yards.
Yeah, and
that one has Brewers.
We're missing someone.
Brewers, not Kitchen.
Some
not,
kind of science thing, right? It's a knock on science.
Yeah, so, but not
But this is, you know, like, as we
look at that, we can't even think of the name of the.
This is our. This is the problem with these concepts, you know. It's like, so it just kind of like, it's tougher to connect with it.
Because what's the, it looks like art history.
Oh, Bruce Drionic or something.
Yeah. Bruce, yeah.
Brew history, histrionic or something.
Histrionic.
Yeah, yeah, something like that, yeah.
So it looks like art history.
Yeah.
That didn't go anywhere.
Who do you think, also, Elmhurst announced they were closing, and they were selling to another brewery. Who do you think buys this Elmhurst brewery? Elmhurst is over there right by Villa Park, so right by the original Moore, and okay, right by, you know, everyone's favorite, Lunar.
And
the people's choice.
Phase 3.
Oh, Phase 3 is also in Elmhurst, yeah.
It's got to be someone that has multiple spaces, right?
Yeah.
So it's not going to be Noon Whistle, because they have the Lombard space. That's probably too close.
It's got to be. It's going to be a brewery that already exists.
Yeah. Is it Whiskey Hill?
It's funny.
Is it Alter?
Is it Moore? Moore just have Moorfest.
But that other one's so close.
Yeah. The rumor is that the Bartlett have a Bartlett one, a Villa Park one, and the Huntley one where they do the big fest. The rumor is they have the equipment in Bartlett and haven't even connected it yet. So all the beer's coming from the other two. Yeah, and that they're like really, like they kind of overplayed their hand. Like they don't need three locations that have three brewing equipment.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They're capable to brew it all three. They don't need
that. They could have just had one of them, just could have had the kitchen.
Satellite. Yeah, make the other one satellite, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Salmo?
SOB, huh? I like Salmo.
Pilot project? No, not big enough. It needs to be a brewery. It needs to be someone who wants to brew there, right?
Middlebrow? Maybe. Or are they too busy making? We're winery. We're winery wine. Now, bro. We make pizza, bro. We make pizza and bread.
I know. It can't be Hop Butcher because they got to be struggling with that.
That's their production facility out by Midway, and then they got the old half acre.
Bedford Park.
It's got to be at Bedford Park. It's got to be a crew that's it's got to be a local crew that's well known that it needs another space.
That's doing well. Riverlands?
I don't know. I'm thinking one of these West Coast, one of these Western suburb breweries. I'm thinking it's a suburban brewery that's open in another location.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has food or wants to do food.
Or wants to do food that doesn't do food. Like this microphone thing. Like she cheers the microphone. They announced they're open in a second location.
Oh, where at?
Downtown Park Ridge.
Okay.
Actually not downtown, but it's in Park Ridge. It's an old Boston market. But they're partnering with Brennan's, which is like a food truck for burgers. So they did this because they want a space with a kitchen because their current space doesn't have a kitchen.
Okay.
So I'm thinking this Elmhurst thing is going to be something like that. A crew that everyone knows, maybe like a skeleton key or something.
Okay.
Where people like them, they got space, they do good, but they need a space with a kitchen.
Interesting, yeah.
So
I do think this year, you know, we haven't had a lot of breweries close, which is great.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a lot of new ones open, right? I don't.
Pilot Project and
Yeah, but anyone new?
Oh, like actual, like their first location.
Yeah.
No, not.
Besides the Foreign Exchange, which.
Yeah. Or in Lake Effect.
Right, but...
Yeah, brands that have always been around for years.
There's not like a new brand.
No new brands have opened a new space, no.
And I think that kind of shows the marketplace. Like, you probably need a little bit of people around you. Like, people want new, but they're okay being like...
Pipeworks?
I think Pipeworks is gone. I think Pipeworks goes away this year.
That's too bad, man. Because they were...
Pipeworks needs to reinvent themselves or... You know, just you're not even playing the game anymore.
That's too bad. At one point, they were really good.
I don't know, Sketchbook go from another spot?
No, that third Sketchbook.
Shut down Evanston.
Deep West Burbs. Yeah, who goes? I think that's for people who live over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been, ever since they opened the Skokie one, I haven't been back to Evanston.
Maybe Temperance comes back from the dead.
Oh, right, now you're talking. That's a good one. I like that. I like that guess. That's a good guess.
But I don't know.
I guess we'll see you soon enough, but I was kind of curious.
Yeah. Have you made it back to good times yet that Doug's now brewing?
Not yet, but now if it's going to be great biking weather, I might just bike over there, man.
There you go.
Yeah. Cool. See what the beer situation's improved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else before we get out of here?
No, man. I think that's it, man.
Oh, Deepwoods.
Oh.
Deepwoods.
Yeah, the good folks at Revolution are celebrating 10 years, man.
15.
Oh, shit. 15 years?
Yeah, so this is the 15th anniversary. Deepwoods is coming out. It's using some sort of Brazilian oak.
Amburana, man.
Amburana, okay.
Fucking A. All the cool kids are doing it, man. A lot of breweries are doing it. I mean, I'm sorry, distilleries.
Is it because the tariffs are cheaper to get wood from Brazil Canada?
This was pre the Donald running it back. This was, I think they were just into that as a flavor profile. I was trying to pull up Rev. Rev's 15 years old. Oh, well, can you believe that?
I know, that's kind of nuts. And then Thunderstruck is making a comeback this time.
Thunder.
And I am totally blanking on what the other one was.
Here we are. The 15-year beer with the cherry Amburana, Thunderstruck, Strawberry Jacket.
Okay.
Vanilla Deeth, OG Death Star, Cafe Deeth, and something with a really coconut vanilla Deeth.
In cans or that's on tap?
That's a tall boy cans.
Oh.
Oh, wait, there's more. Apple Brandy Rye Whey.
Interesting.
Huh. Straight Jacket, Grave Digger Billy. Oh, and Rum VSOJ. Oh, shit. They're mixing it up a little bit here.
Rum VSOJ.
Hey, now. A little twist, a little swizzle, huh? Something called Sir Lie. Man, that's a pretty deep lineup. Okay. I don't know what Sir Lie is, though. Barley Winery, La Cerise. That's DBXOJ. That sounds like a VSOJ with cherry. That's what that sounds like. Mineshaft Gap. People went nuts over Mineshaft Gap.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for it, but then the people who liked it said on draft it's killer.
Okay.
Mineshaft Gap was like, I want to say like grapes.
Okay. Fuck. It's all on draft right now at the Revolution at the Kedzie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. We're not plugged over there, man. Everyone we know left Revolution, so we haven't talked or been over there.
Right, so what, their social media person and CFO?
Yeah, Doug Vilecki. He was, I think he was CMO, and then he moved to CFO.
Yeah, and this is now 15 years of Rev, 9 years of Deep Woods, 8, 10 years? Right? Something like that?
Yeah. Chicago's, Illinois' largest independent brewery.
Do you think it got stale?
I've always been a fan of, well, let me say this.
But for two people to leave like that.
Something is afoot if the social media guy and the top financial guy left.
Yeah.
Something is definitely afoot.
Social media guy kind of just, his pizza thing kind of got out of hand, I think.
They are the premier barrel program in town, sure. Right? They are the barrel program that people get most excited about in city proper, right? If we're talking IPAs, though, I'm more excited to have a Half Acre's new IPA, or even lagers. I'm more excited to have other. I'd rather have a Half Acre lager.
Okay.
But they are killing it with the barrel program, and I do like their dark beers in general, like their black IPA. They got Schwartz beers. I like a lot of their beers.
Okay.
So is the brand stale to me? And no, but are they moving the needle and where you need to with like the casual consumer? What's their top selling beer, right? Are they playing in the space with where the kids are at? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know I don't know if Cold Time did well or not.
They did do that huge, this might be the result of going all in with the Chicago Sky partnership. And then, they did the Pitchfork partnership, right? I mean, these changes might be related to those moves. Okay. I don't know. I don't know. We haven't talked to anybody over there. But
yeah, after 15 years in Chicago, you just feel like at this point you're like almost the equivalent of Goose, right? You're not – it's good. I'm not gonna have a bad thing when I get a Goose beer, when I get a Revolution beer, but at the same time, it's not getting me super excited all the time.
Like Kenny G, this is the old Garrett Oliver thing. He's like, Kenny G makes good music, but it's like, but who's like really turning on the radio looking for something that sounds like Kenny G?
Right.
You know, you're not. But it's technically it's sound. It's good music. Sure. Technically, it's good. But like to your point, like, but who's checking?
How many times can I listen to the same album, right?
Yeah. People don't want that. But people don't want whatever you got going on.
Sometimes it's safe, and you go back to it.
Yeah. I think people are definitely still drinking Rev. They're definitely drinking the dark stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
They're not drinking that $60 for a 4-pack.
You can walk into Benny's right now, and just like you can get all the BCS, you can get a good amount of some of these really pricey Deep Woods.
Yeah.
Especially the coconut ones, vanilla ones. I don't think I'm in on coconut or vanilla from the good folks at Rev, just to be frank. Well, not after frank.
Also like 8 months. Why would I want that?
Yeah. I am pretty jazzed about some of these things that they are offering in this Deep Woods series, though. They will hit you with a proper VSOJ with cherries. That is going to be delicious.
I guess we've been talking this whole episode. I think there's something missing. Either it's me or just beer in general right
this
now.
This is the Grumpy Old Man podcast.
But there's something missing. Like, the hazy stuff was all like kind of exciting. Like, although we all got very burnt out on hazy stuff, but it was exciting because it was like new and kind of like, who's making the better version of it? Who's doing it different? Who's adding this? This one's got lactose. This one's, you know, blah, blah, blah. And now we're making beer flavored beer. Everyone's making beer flavored beer. And then the barrel aged stuff is like, yeah, those are good. I'm not going to always roll the dice on someone else's barrel program because I got Goose and Rev.
That's true.
Why am I going to spend $20 on a bottle from, and Whiskey Hill makes very good barrel stuff, but like a demo.
Yeah. A demo comes out with a Buffalo Trace barrel aged stout. Are you going to, I'm going to go to Koval. I'm not even going to demo if I'm over there.
So there's like, at the moment, which, you know, it ebbs and flows. I think we're just missing like an excitement factor in it all. Like something needs to break, or new drinkers need to come back in if they're looking for like those like high IBU bitter stuff and like the, or overly hop. Like this has a ton of hops, but it's not bitter. It's like, reads super bitter, but doesn't taste bitter or something. Like, I don't know. We need something else because everyone doing a premium lager kind of sucks. Like, I don't want that when I go to every place. Like, cool, I'll have your lager.
You could justify the price hike because there was excitement with these other styles.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you end up. That's how you end up with, you know, Apocalypse Cow, or that's how you end up with, you know, a triple IPA from Hot Butcher.
But
you know,
your crispy boy isn't bringing me to your place.
Yeah, it's like we justify the price on those other things because they were much bigger beers, way more fun beers. They were trying to not be the macro beers. Now we got the same price, and what we're essentially offering is a slight variation on what the macro guys are doing. Mm-hmm. And now you're kind of, that's what you're saying. You're like, well, fuck, I don't know if I like this. Right. I don't know if this makes me happy.
And then you have that other end of the Deep Woods, Bourbon County stuff that's expensive.
Yeah.
But why don't I just get the source product? Like, you're doing Vanilla Deeth again? It's been 10 years of Vanilla Deeth. It's good. How many times can I drink Vanilla Deeth?
I'm about to get this old Fitz 7-year bottled in bond. I'm about to get this 12-year Eagle Rare at Longman & Eagle.
Right?
Well, I'll just be done with it. Yeah. Or I'm doing a beer and a shot. I'm doing an $8 beer and a shot at fucking Teddy Bear Lounge, right? But I was gonna say something. I think you're onto something. But you know, since we've been drinking together, this goes in waves.
Yeah.
There's been a style that everyone hopped on, and it was really, and everyone like Mexican hot chocolate stout is the one that jumps out at me.
We had hazies. We had milkshake IPAs.
Kettle sours.
We had wild ales for a while.
Yeah.
Too much for me.
Black IPA had a run. Yeah. Big double IPAs had a run. But this hazy thing stuck around longer than all those things. Those things had like a 12-month, 18-month cycle. We're talking like a few years.
Yeah.
Maybe even 4 years of the hazy train. So it's like it stuck around longer than all those other styles. So no one, there hasn't been another really fun 12-month cycle of a style that everyone did and did well, and you wanted to go try them all to see which one was the best.
I think that just made me think, I was seeing like new clips for the new King of the Hill. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw clips of this.
No.
But his son was talking about like, oh, this beer tastes like, chocolate or raspberry cake. He's like, I've never once in my life wanted my beer tasting like raspberry cake or whatever. Yeah. And so that's almost where we're in, where people got sick of the beers that tasted like other stuff and they wanted beer.
Everybody's going to their corners, you know? Like Suncatcher's got their people. Yeah. This Morfest, this is all the cool kids that are doing all the stuff that tastes like desserts and stuff that tastes like, you know, non-beer product, cocktails and shit.
Yeah.
You got, you got Goldfinger. You got everyone in beer is not coming together to everyone making the same stuff. Everybody's kind of going in a corner doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we need it's something new or something fun to like kind of shake it up. If it's, I don't even know. I'm not the chemist here making stuff. I don't know what we need.
We just know you're not happy, and this is the Grumpy Old Man podcast. So
I don't know. I think I like it. It's all good. Like this beer is very good, but it doesn't make me want to go to Goldfinger, right, and get more. Or buy more gold.
You want that feeling that like Hetty Topper gave you. Somebody opened up a can of Hetty Topper in their backyard.
Yeah.
And then they smuggled it in from fucking Vermont. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
Right. Or the you first want that time feeling. You had a Deep Woods beer, you're like, oh shit, Goose better watch yeah. out. These yeah. are like good.
The one they blessed, the Supermassive Cafe D. You want that feeling.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, not necessarily those two beers, but those beers associate with a feeling. Yeah. And you're like, God damn. Yeah. Like,
I want to have a beer and be like, oh shit, I need more of that.
Yeah.
Whatever that person's doing, I need more of that.
For sure.
And that's yeah. what's missing. And then when we go to beer flavored beer, it's like, this is like, you better be able to do this good. You're a brewer. Like, you go back to the, can you draw me a horse?
That's the old, that's the old Dick Cutler line right there. You say you can draw me a horse. I'm not drinking your other beers. Let me drink this lager. See if that works first. Yeah.
You better be able to just brew a beer.
That's a good measuring stick for the rest of the year, right? Like, go to these places and say, hey, what on this list excited me the most?
Right.
I think that's a good measuring stick for going into places from here to the end of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, man.
All right. Take care.
Cheers.